If you would, inside of your bulletin, there's an insert, a little half-sheet insert. Pull that out, if you would. I'm going to do something different with you today before we get going. I'm going to give you the answers right off the bat, okay, if you want to write them in. So if you go to that insert, it's entitled, Teach Us to Pray. That first point where the line is, spiritually goes in there. Spiritually, okay? My first point is you can be spiritually dragged off. The next point there that you have where there's something underlined, our prayer life needs prayers of resistance. Put resistance in there. The next spot, we look to Christ and turn or repent from sin that entices us. So it's repent or turn. If you go to the next side, the back side, where it says the lure, the second point there is the same as where we started. Spiritually, we can be lured away. Temptation comes. When temptation comes, we take the bait. And then our help and hope. Jesus didn't do this to set an example for us. The word is example. Kind of just to prime you a little bit and to get you going with where we're going today, up on the screen, the catechism parts. I'll ask, and then you answer like we always do. The sixth petition, what is the sixth petition? What does this mean? God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that He would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. And so let's get started. On that half sheet, you know, I've usually used the catechism work that's up on the screen for the message today. I'm going to base it more off of one of the most important Bible verses we find on temptation in the Bible. It comes to us from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. The reason I went this way is last week Sunday I went into Kohl's, and I suffered one of those little child tantrums. Not me, myself. I saw a small child, probably three or four, had gone through the candy aisle. You know, they have all those special chocolates at Kohl's, the really good ones that, you know, really high calorie, wonderful chocolates. And this little boy went through there and he wanted some of that. And the parents went, oh, did he put up a fuss, yelling and screaming. And so Dad, who was really quite large, he must have been 6'5", 6'6", picked up this little guy by the collar, screaming and kicking. And out the front door he went, like a big old grizzly, you know, dragging off a cub. And I got that stuck in my head, and then I read this. I started to think, too, about people being dragged off. Have you seen the news lately about people on airplanes? You know, they do these goofy, weird things, and then they get dragged off the airplane, and somebody's always got their camera, right? And just at the right time, you don't know what happened before or what happened after. All you see is somebody being dragged off the plane by an arm, a leg, or sometimes the cuff, right? This Bible verse reflects that image in my mind, and I hope that's in your mind now, of being dragged off. So there's two great ways that I see temptations coming from biblical proof, especially this Bible verse. And the first one is being dragged off. Not physically, but guess what? Spiritually. Use the image in your head of what you've seen physically, in terms of people being dragged off, to kind of cross over into the spiritual realm of what can happen to you so easily when you're taken hold of by the devil or evil or even some sort of sin that you see out there getting dragged away. Here's my point. We're talking about our prayer lives and the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Instead of getting dragged off, pray instead. Start kicking and screaming. Okay? In your prayer life, see all of the things going on around you in terms of those things that want to drag you down, steal you away from your faith, as evil, the devil, whatever, coming to drag you away. Start kicking and screaming. Start praying. Do you remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when his time was close? He told his disciples, he said, watch and pray. He said that because he knew what he was about to face, and more importantly, caring about his disciples, he knew what they were going to face. The temptation to fall away from everything Jesus taught and faith in him. So he told them, watch and pray. Start kicking and screaming. Don't let your slumber drag you away so you miss what's going on right here and now and fall into some kind of despair or disbelief. And remember, Jesus kept going back and saying, what? Are you still sleeping? Wake up. Can't you pray 1 hour? Prayer is what you need. And that's the key to each and every one of us, to do the same. Have you ever gotten in a car and started driving a long distance and started getting the nods? You know, start doing this. What would happen if you kept driving? Would your wife let you do that, guys? No. Would your friends let you do that? No. If you were alone, you don't do that. If it's really cold outside, you roll down the window, right, and you stick your head outside, try to wake up. Or you pull over and you get some coffee, or you pull over and take a nap. You don't drive that way. Same thing spiritually. Sometimes we can be lulled into a sense of a stupor. And when that happens, everything that's going on around us, that's going on spiritually, that we're supposed to recognize, and we're supposed to notice, that's extremely important to our faith and our Christian life. We don't see that going on. We don't pray. We could fall into some kind of disaster. The Apostle James says, temptation can come along and drag you off. We need prayers of resistance. And I don't know if you've thought about it that way. Prayers of resistance. First of all, personally, Lord, don't let me get dragged off. Lord, help me. Quick and easy, simple prayers. Contemplation over what it is that it can drag you off and away. And to pray specifically about those, and there's plenty of those things in our world today. And more people are falling into traps because of it. Prayers of resistance. I say that because you don't have to fall into temptation to the point where you fall into sin. That's extremely important for you to know. Just because there's temptation out there doesn't mean you have to sin. The devil can't force you to do something you shouldn't do. You can't say, the devil made me do it. You are responsible for what goes on in your life. And that's why Jesus wanted us to pray, lead us not into temptation. Now, of course, God isn't the author of temptation. He's not the subject of lead. The scriptures are clear. God tempts no one. So we have to look for a different subject, don't we, in terms of leading into temptation? And the answer is obvious. It's everything that the devil and evil knows is going to pull us down and take us away from a right and good relationship with our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's anything out there that can weaken that faith. It's anything out there that can make your life miserable so that you give up on the faith. Do you remember Joseph in the Old Testament? You know, the guy with the coat of many colors? He had all those brothers that thought he was kind of like, you know, a prima donna. So they picked him up and they threw him into a pit. The Egyptians came along and took him off to be a slave. And he ended up a slave with a guy named Potiphar. And Potiphar had a wife. And she wasn't too happy to be Potiphar's wife. She would rather have Joseph. Joseph must have been handsome. She went after him. So time and time again, Joseph had to just say no until one time she got him alone and started to press the point, grab some of his clothing, and Joseph ran off. When Potiphar found out about it, didn't blame his wife, he blamed Joseph. But Joseph knew enough about God and his relationship with him that it didn't matter. He wanted to be right with God, not with man. Yeah, and he was fell into prison, went through all kinds of difficult times until later he had some dreams that helped out the Pharaoh. And so when famine came, Joseph had an answer to the whole situation, and Egypt was able to maintain itself through a famine. And then, of course, Joseph was raised up to a higher rank and then actually helped out his brothers later. So God saw him through the situation and helped him prosper. He didn't want to fall into that temptation because he knew what that temptation would bring with it. You can say no as well. Here's a Bible verse. No temptation has taken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But when the temptation comes, he'll provide a way of escape that you, too, will be able to endure. So that's my first point, to look at temptation, not to see God as the one who leads it, but to see evil and the devil kind of grabbing you and trying to pull you off and lead you down a bad road. Now, my second one is this. From that Bible verse we had, each person is tempted into sin when they're dragged off and enticed or lured away. I use the word lure because it's easier for me to explain because of fishing. When you go fishing, you use lures. When I go salmon fishing, I actually use flashers with a lure to call in the fish, to lure them away from what they would normally eat to what I want to feed them. Now, what I'm going to feed them isn't edible. It's usually plastic or metal, and it's got hooks on it. No good, right? You can see that a mile away. You know it's not real food. Really? The Garden of Eden, we had Adam and Eve there. God came along and said, you know, you can eat anything you want, but don't eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's fruit on it, but that's not for you to be eating. Don't eat that. It's not good for you to eat. Because if you do, you'll know both good, which isn't bad, but you'll know evil as well, which isn't good. And what happened? They were lured into that by the devil, because sometimes enticing works better than grabbing by the collar. And they went in and they took of the fruit and they ate. And when they did, if the Bible says their eyes were open, yes, but they also knew what evil was, and they fell into the whole scam of being a part of evil. Each and every one of us, I think, on a daily basis has to deal with all the things around us, things that are flashy. They look good. They're enticing. It's a lure. It can be anything from going to the store and seeing food in the aisle that we shouldn't be eating simply because it's packaged in a way that looks more desirable, to perhaps maybe going to the water cooler to get some water and falling into some sort of temptation there where we should never go. It could be anything like that. And we have to realize that sometimes we're not any better than a fish. We like to go after what looks good. We like to feel good for just a little bit, maybe. We don't think beyond tomorrow. We're susceptible to such things. The Apostle Paul put it this way: "Wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death?" But of course, Paul knew the good news that went along with that. That yes, we're easily enticed and lured, but yes, we also have hope and health. He says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And that is our help, isn't it? The devil cannot be defeated by the one who already defeated him. Therefore, if we put our faith in Jesus, we too cannot be defeated when temptation comes. That's why I put that down, that Jesus is not just an example for us, but he's more the victor. My dad always used to say to me, "Son, it's a lot easier to walk away from a fight when you know you're the better person, when you're the stronger person, the more capable person. It's easier to be humble when you know you can defeat whatever it is before you. You can walk away." That's why we have Jesus. We know he's the victor. We know the fight has already been won. We know that the situation before us has already been conquered. With that in your heart, knowing that the defeat has already come, you can walk away. You don't have to be subject to whatever is going on around you. You know the victory's already been won. You're above it all, not beneath it. Little prayers like, "Lord, help me," put us in mind of what Christ has done. Now, the exercise in prayer. Think about the two things that I gave you today, the collar and the lure. Think about that. And in your own prayer life, do this. Pray as the disciples should have in the garden, when Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you might not enter into temptation." First of all, watch. Prayerfully consider your weaknesses. You all have weaknesses. There's chinks in the armor. Some of you do very well in some places, and you're not tempted very easily. Okay? As you grow older, you're less likely to be tempted to do the things that did when you were younger. When you're younger, you're less likely to fall in temptations that come when you're older. So your situation in life matters. Consider who you are and who you are today, and the temptations that are common to people like you, as well as your own personal temptations. Sometimes you need to write them down. As you go through your prayer life in the morning or later on in the day before you go to bed, sometimes you need to write down the little things that you catch in your life that are the things that tempt you the most, and to look at them and meditate on them. And realize, too, as how Christ has won the victory for you in those areas. And to pray to concentrate and meditate on those things. As you pray, let God and the Holy Spirit come into your life in a very special way to strengthen you in those areas. Secondly, pray under the umbrella of forgiveness. There's nothing more the devil would like to have happen to you than to think you cannot be forgiven, especially in those areas that trouble you the most. Whatever the past has brought, whatever is the huge thing for the day that you're facing, the devil would like you to think that you can't be forgiven, that you've gone too far, that it's out of control. But that's not true. In your prayer life, the second point is to just fully try to understand that no matter what the sin is, what the situation is, whatever it's going on in your life at this point that seems unforgivable is definitely forgivable. Confess it. Let God know that you're addressing it and that you want Him to address it as well. That will help you to turn away from it, be honest, and get past it. Envision, if you would, finally in your prayers, Jesus with the devil by the collar. Envision that if you can. Jesus has grabbed the devil by the collar and he's dragging him off. The devil's trying to kick and scream because he doesn't want to go where everything good and right is. But Jesus is going to pick him up and throw him into the lake of eternal fire where he can no longer cause any trouble. Envision that. And envision that as your great hope for every situation that you're going to face. And God be with you in your prayer life this week. Amen.